You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good day. Plenty more First Takes still to come, including a big announcement from Chris Paul, who joins us live in about 15 minutes. We'll also ask him about the Suns, Ben Simmons' situation, and much more. Plus, Stephen A. and Marcus's thoughts on the Chiefs-Bills this weekend. Keep it locked.
The Raiders and Chargers clash for an AFC West shootout.
Look at the stats, putting them numbers up. I'm running up, yeah. I'm running up.
Touchdown! It's Eckler on the wheel, and the Raiders have a pulse here.
I'm running up.
Eckler breaking away, touchdown!
And all these guys stepped up big time today, so it's awesome to see them.
The LA Chargers handily beat Derek Carr and the Raiders on Monday Night Football 28-14. Justin Herbert looked like the better quarterback and the Chargers the better team. Carr threw for 196 yards, two TDs, and one INT. A week ago, Marcus, you were pretty high on Derek Carr. It was all good just a week ago.
Derek Carr right now is the early NFL MVP front runner. He's beat three defenses that we all respect in the NFL. High-level respect for all three of those teams. He's playing at a better clip than any quarterback right now.
I think my favorite thing about this new feature of First Take or new version of First Take is that we bring all this old sound back, holding folks accountable.
Yes.
Marcus?
Yeah.
You were real confident. I don't know if you were too aggressive there. Yeah. Can Derek Carr still get back into the MVP convo?
Absolutely. He absolutely can. Might I add, okay? See, cause when you move up in the business, like my OG taught me young, you have people that you can reach out to and get information from.
Right,
and I hit my boy Hembo up, who's a great researcher here at ESPN.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what Hembo told me? I said, Hembo, Derek Carr balling, man. Like, send me some numbers to support this. Mm-hmm. Derek Carr has thrown for almost 1,400 yards, mm-hmm. 8 touchdowns, 3 picks, mm-hmm. and he's led 2 game-winning drives so far in the season. And we only in game 4. And you want to take him out the MVP conversation? He's averaging 350 yards passing a game. Right? Like, I'm not, this doesn't take other people out. Kyler Murray, obviously, Dak Prescott in that conversation, Aaron Rodgers. But how in the hell are you going to take a guy that's averaging 350 yards a game, 8 touchdowns, has beat 3 of the better defenses in the NFL out of the MVP conversation in week 4 because he threw for 196, 2 touchdowns, and an interception? I want to hear why Derek Carr shouldn't still be in the conversation. Yeah, we could be mad. We could talk about the game and how he didn't play well in certain parts of the game. But ultimately, sitting here at week 4 going into week 5, Derek Carr absolutely still in the MVP conversation.
You know something? I gotta admit this. You're cute, man. You know, it's just funny listening to you sometimes.
Oh, I know. Before I go into
well, listen, man, you ain't got to bring up the wife, man. You ain't got to bring up the wife.
The beard does look crispy, Marcus.
In the new frames,
and I like the button up. On point.
Molly, with all due respect, yo, I get where you're coming from, but you're not paying attention right now, because when I bring up his wife, I'm telling him he ain't got to bring up the wife. He know why. You know, because I'm getting at him, and he sicked the wife for me.
Yeah, I love his wife.
Me. I mean,
I got to meet her.
She bullied me, Molly.
MQ,
she bullied me. She's from Detroit, too. I'm like,
you know what it is.
I got to be mindful about my tone.
Mama runs the show.
I got to hide from her because she going to get at me now. All right. So rather than go into my diatribe where my tenor, my voice, my delivery might be a bit too demonstrative, rather than do that to Swag Goo, because I'm worried about Mrs. Swag Goo, instead of doing that, I'm going to ask for y'all to replay some tape from Marcus Spears a few weeks ago when he had somebody else that was an MVP candidate. Could y'all play that tape for me, please?
Oh, my.
Jameis Winston will be hovering around the MVP conversation by the end of the season. Put it down. Yes, I said it. What's today, Molly? What's today?
Today is September 15th.
September 15th at 10:16 a.m. here on the East Coast. Swaggoo said that Jameis Winston will be in the MVP conversation by season's end.
I mean,
who
you
gonna, who damn.
What if I gotta bring up old stuff? Man. What is this? What is this? A roasting? Because he bring up the Cowboys?
Who we gonna bring on next? Who we gonna bring
wow.
on next?
That was Marcus, low. They didn't even tell me the producers.
Listen, check it out, y'all. Yo, Marcus, rhetorical questions here. Who's going to be your next MVP candidate? Taylor Heineke? Who's it going to be? Who's next, Marcus? Is it going to be Taylor Heineke? Kirk Cousins? Ben Roethlisberger? Baker Mayfield? Who the hell else is going to be?
Say,
Mac Jones? The list is fluid, right?
The list is fluid.
Listen. I got a new name for you. I got a new name for you, all right? It's Swaggoo Claws. Show me that, please. This dude did that. Look at him right there. Look at that man right there. Just give it out.
Just give it.
Look at him. Swaggoo Claws. That's what I'm calling it from now on. This brother just giving out MVP candidacies to everybody. Everybody. Hell. Give it a little bit more.
You get an MVP.
Give it a little more time. And I will be an MVP candidate that Marcus Spears mentioned. Give me a break. Listen, Derek Carr, and by the way, Marcus, because remember, I want to make sure my tone is cool because Mrs. Swaggoo is watching. Marcus, did you see the Monday Night Football game? Because, see, I was here. I was at SoFi. I was in a beautiful, beautiful suite, courtesy of the Chargers. Thank you very much for your first-class hospitality. I had a beautiful, beautiful time. Marcus Spears, did you see the post-game after they shellacked the Las Vegas Raiders, after they beat up Derek Carr, sacked him four times, had him tap dancing in the pocket like the late, great Gregory Hines, God rest his soul? Did you see Joey Bosa speak after the game? Let me read the quote to you about Derek Carr. We knew once we hit him a few times, he really gets shook. And you saw on that cat Covington sack, he was pretty much curling into a ball before we even got back there. Great dude, great player. But we know once you get pressure on him, he kind of shuts down.
Oh, man.
That's yo, MVP candidate. Now, we know Derek Carr can play. We know he's not a scrub, and he really, really is a very nice guy. He really, really is, okay? Okay? But an MVP candidate, Swaggoo Claws is your new name. Oh, Swaggoo Claws.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
There's a lot to get into this season. I got my top 10 stories for the NBA season. And yesterday I did number 10, which was the Clippers. Number 9 on that list is the Phoenix Suns, the reigning Western Conference champions. That's number 9 on my list. And who better to talk to that? About that than anybody else than the one and only Chris Paul, point guard extraordinaire for the Phoenix Suns. What's going on, big time? How are you?
I'm well, Stephen A. And yourself?
I'm doing great, man. I want to get into a lot of things with you. I definitely want to talk to you about FAMU and what you're executive producing on ESPN+. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But the first order of business is the sport of basketball. First of all, how are you guys feeling right now? How are you feeling about your team for this upcoming season?
Good, really good. We're excited. I think the best thing our team got coming back this year is continuity. We got a lot of the same faces that we had last year, but just like everybody else, we got to start over.
You finished 51-21 last season, CP3. You won the Western Conference Finals. Did that surprise you at all that you guys were able to pull that off? Was that your expectations when you first arrived there last year?
I don't think it surprised us at all. And every time we step on the court, we expect to win. You know, the guys in our locker room, the coaching staff that we had and that we have now, being led by Monty. He's an unbelievable coach, a mentor, and, you know, we just try to stick to our principles, and we'll do the same this year.
Y'all lost in the finals. Y'all were up 2-0 and ended up losing to the finals. As you reflect on what transpired in that NBA finals that led to y'all defeat, what do you really, really focus on? What do you peel from that experience? How did it happen?
Man, you learn. You learn so much. We lost to a really good team, a good Bucks team. You know, they beat us. Obviously, there's a lot of things that I feel like I could have done better, things that we could have done better as a team. But you learn from it and you move on and you have to get ready for this upcoming season.
You know, DeAndre Ayton is a big-time player. He really showed a lot of promise and development as the season progressed last year. I thought he really had a good playoff, and obviously he ran into a little something different in Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA Finals. Now he sits here and he's making news because there seems to be a stall in contract talks or what have you. How concerned are you that this is a guy that's not going to be a part of the long-term plans for the Phoenix Suns in the future? I can't imagine that's going to be the case, but how concerned are you about that?
I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned. That's the business of the game. You know, those contract talks happen as players, agents, all that stuff. We got Mikal Bridges, another guy who's a big part of our team. So, you know, hopefully that stuff will take care of itself so we can get back to playing and, you know, doing what we do.
As you reflect on your career, particularly over the last two seasons, I remember a couple of seasons ago, people looked at you and they wondered how much you had left. Yet you arrive in Phoenix after being an all-star in Oklahoma City the previous year. You arrive in Phoenix. You play lights out. You're an all-star again. You average 16-9 on the season, and you lead this team to the NBA Finals. What did last year say to you? I know what it said to everybody else in the basketball universe about you and how extraordinary you are as a point guard. What did it say to you about yourself at this point in time in your career?
I think it just told me to keep working. I think over the years, I'm so blessed to be going into my 17th season, but it's about the work. It's about putting the work in and day out and being grateful for the opportunity. But yeah, that was it. You know, it's never been about anything else but the work. You know, this is a kid's game that we get a chance to take care of our families playing, and I'm gonna continue to do that and try to do it at a high level.
You constantly preach that message all the time, but it's not just about you. You say that message for a lot of people out there, for people who don't know you. A lot of times you play the role of a mentor to a lot of people. A lot of cats call you up, they listen to you, they get your guidance and your tutelage and what have you. Do you feel that it's important now more than ever to disseminate that kind of message about it being about the work? And if so, why do you feel at this particular moment in time that it's important to send that kind of message?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. It's always been about the work. And for me, I'm big in grassroots basketball, right? So my dad spent his entire 401k on me and my brother playing travel basketball. My mom was a team mom on every AAU trip. And so the fact that we have our own program and I have the opportunity to see kids who use this game to change their lives, right? So I think for me, it's just always that, is if I know something, if I got any piece of knowledge that'll help the next guy, help the next young lady, whoever it may be, then I can't help but to share it. Mm-hmm.
I got you. Let me transition real quick to the subject of a Kyrie Irving right now. I know you're no longer the – I mean, when you think about the role, C.J. McCollum is going to be the president of the NBA Players Association after you served so admirably for years in that position. But you got a guy like Kyrie Irving that's making some noise right now because of the whole vaccination situation. I guess the question to ask you would be, what's your take on all of the noise that has been made about the vaccine situation involving the NBA, considering the mandates that exist in New York and San Francisco that potentially compromised Andrew Wiggins before he ended up getting vaccinated? And, of course, it's still compromising potentially the Brooklyn Nets because Kyrie, at least at this moment in time, hasn't handled that situation. What are your thoughts about all of that?
Yeah, I think every situation is personal. Every situation is different and it's personal. It's not up to me to make a decision for anybody except for me and my family. I had some unbelievable years as the president of the PA and still involved here and there in different things. But, I feel on any situation, it's up to that individual, and they have to make that decision for them and their family.
Let me transition to Why Not Us, because obviously you're the executive producer of that. We're going to focus on FAMU football. There's no question about that. You're an executive producer. It's exclusively on ESPN Plus starting October 14th. My birthday, by the way. Not that anybody cares, but I'm letting you know that. This season of Why Not Us will follow Florida A&M head coach Willie Simmons and his 2021 Rattlers as they begin play in a brand new conference, the SWAC. Before I ask you about that, I believe we have the trailer. Let's watch that for a second.
Know the guy beside him. What are his goals? What are his aspirations? Those are the things you gotta know about your brother.
It ain't gonna come easy. Everybody's gonna be gunning for your this year.
This institution can prepare you for anything in life.
All for one.
All for one.
One for all.
One for all.
All for the rest.
All for the rest. Yeah.
You see it right there, CP3. What can we expect to see from this season of Why Not Us?
Man, it's going to be exciting. As you know, we got a chance to do the story about North Carolina Central basketball last season, which was dope in itself. But this is different. I mean, I grew up playing football. A lot of people don't know, but I played varsity football instead of varsity basketball for 2 years in high school. And so you just get to see the camaraderie of these guys. You get to see how they train, how they get ready for their season. And you see what it's like being at a big school like FAMU, and you get to see Willie Simmons as the coach and what that culture is like.
Remind the audience of why it's so important to you to tell these HBCU stories and highlight HBCU athletic programs.
Yeah, it's important to me, first and foremost, because it's part of my DNA. You know, even though I went to Wake Forest University, I grew up right there at Winston-Salem State. I was at football games every Saturday, and that's just part of my family and part of my upbringing. And so to tell these stories are huge because you get a chance to see what a lot of these kids are going through, the different environments that they come through, and their struggle and what it looks like for them to try to level the playing field. And it's dope, man, because a lot of times kids don't get a chance to hear their stories. They only see the stories of, you know, the Blue Bloods and these big schools out here. So I'm proud of our team, and I'm excited about this project with FAMU.
I want to get into something else you're doing, because in addition to your Why Not Us efforts, you're also hosting the Chris Paul HBCU tip-off this November. That's featuring four historically black colleges and universities, of course. Tell us a bit about this event and how it came together.
Yeah, man, we another showcase. You know, we want to get the eyeballs on these different schools, these programs. So bringing it out here in partnership with the Naismith Hall of Fame, it's going to be exciting. We're playing it here at the Footprint Center. We got West Virginia State, Morehouse, Virginia Union, and, of course, Winston-Salem State University. So I'm excited about that. It's a two-day tournament.
Listen, you going to school at my alma mater, man. Listen, I can't thank you enough for all that you've done for HBCUs. It's near and dear to my heart, as you well know. But no matter what efforts I put into it, it's nothing compared to all the great stuff that you've been doing. So I wanted to thank you for that. But before I let you get on out of here, what's the Phoenix Suns going to do this year? What's the Phoenix Suns going to do this year, considering the fact that the Lakers are loaded? Utah, Denver, Dallas, teams like that are still in the conference. But, of course, the story is the Lakers because of all the horses that they've got, including two of your best friends in LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony. Your thoughts real quick about what y'all going to do this season against those guys.
Anybody else you want to name? Any other team? You know what I mean? It's just funny, man. I've been in the West my entire career. 17 right. years in the West. It ain't never been easy. You know what I mean? So you take it game by game. Every team in the West, they feel like they got a chance going into the season, and I feel like the West is going to be just as tough this year as it's been any other year.
My man. Stream Why Not Us, FAMU Football, next Thursday, October 14th on ESPN+. One of the greatest point guards in the history of basketball, the one and only Chris Paul. Appreciate your time, my man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Tonight, game four in the best of five WNBA playoff semifinals. Suns tie with Chicago up 2-1 on top-seeded Connecticut at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Then Aces Mercury with the Phoenix up 2-1 on second-seeded Vegas. Both games on ESPN and always on the app. It was all good just a week ago. This time last week, the Rams riding high, coming off a victory over Tom Brady and those Bucks. And on Sunday, they ran into Kyler Murray, the league's number one offense, who made their case to be the favorites in the NFC. So yesterday, Stephen A. released his little A-list, Marcus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You weren't here. His top five teams after week four, Marcus, I need you to pay attention to this. Checking in at the top, it was the undefeated team, the Cardinals, right in front of the Cowboys. Arizona took care of the Rams on Sunday, and now Los Angeles was nowhere to be found. But Marcus, the week before, he had LA number one, right? And then the next week, they don't even make the list.
Well, that's what happens when you get beat down.
It's fluid.
How did
Why is fluid like this?
I know.
Why is fluid?
I just like doing it like this.
Why is fluid a Coke bottle? Let's stay focused.
Yo, Marcus, check this out. It's similar to the late great, Mr. Witherspoon, God rest his soul, when he was in there. Coordinate. Boomerang.
You got to coordinate.
Okay.
You ain't got to worry about catching a dog. You got to worry about a dog catching your ass.
Hey, Marcus. Bam!
Lord help me. Well, Marcus, as you can see, this man to my right is a prisoner of the moment.
Yeah.
So please tell me this. You agree with me, right? We're overreacting to the Rams' one loss.
100%. And we're not obviously he giving the Cardinals credit with having them number one, but the Rams are fine. These things happen. His fifth place team, Molly, might I add, lost 38-3 to the New Orleans Saints in week one.
Yeah, he's a mess.
So the Rams drop out of the top five because they lost to your number one overall team. Put the damn list away. Don't tell me nothing about fluid. The list's horrible. Your own logic ain't making sense. Molly, listen, I don't even have to argue this list because he knows. How do you contradict your own self?
Do you want me to answer the question?
Go ahead.
First of all, I think a couple of segments ago, I showed you ain't got no business talking about somebody's logic. I think I proved that. Welcome to the crazy house. You know, now, first of all, I wouldn't be there with you because they probably had me in a Grinch outfit. That's number one. But let's get that out the way, okay? Here's the deal, Marcus. It's really not just about the list being fluid, Molly. It's not just about the list.
Oh, my God, please,
okay?
The shape.
It's also about this, Marcus. Let's look at the teams I put up there. You just finished raving about the Cowboys, right?
Yep.
Arizona blew them out, right? Okay, who else did I have up there? I'm talking about the Packers at number five. We've seen what they've done since they lost that opening day game, and we see how Aaron Rodgers has looked, and when Aaron Rodgers is looking like that, he's on course to probably win another MVP, and Lord knows get another trip to the NFC Championship game, okay? I got the Buffalo Bills up there, right?
Yep.
We see how they've been rolling, and again, the Chargers. So it's not really about disrespecting the Rams and acting like, oh, my goodness, this season is over and all of this other stuff. I'm just talking about, based on how you look this last week and where we're looking at in the power rankings right now, we saw the Chargers put everybody on notice with how they manhandled the Raiders.
We saw
a Chargers squad that might be arguably the most well-balanced team in the National Football League with a second-year quarterback, okay? So all I'm saying is it's not about digging at the Los Angeles Rams. It's about pointing out right now, based on how these cats look following week four, how are we going to summarily dismiss those other teams, and how are we going to keep the Rams elevated after they got pretty much punked on Sunday on their home turf at SoFi? What's the problem?
Molly.
Yeah.
I love when he's fighting for air.
Exactly.
It makes me so damn happy. Hey, America, that number five pick is about his affinity for Aaron Rodgers. It don't have a
Green
damn
not
thing
a top
to
five
do.
Team in the NFL right
it
now.
Don't you have just a damn
no.
No. Time out, Marcus, right now. You argued earlier this show, Stephen A. Smith, how Aaron Rodgers should get out of Green Bay. Their defense is suspect.
He just killed them.
We have a real defense.
Hey, you murdered them, and now you're going to try to act like they're that deal? Get out of here. Goodbye. Do we have that tape? Because that just happened like an hour ago.
I just said it.
But be clear. They got Aaron Rodgers. And because they got Aaron Rodgers,
it's coming out.
It's coming out now.
Now, Swaggoo, I would advise you. You know how I can be.
I know.
Don't encourage Molly, because we got tape on her, too. Come on, Swaggoo.
Uh-oh.
We got tape on Molly now. Remember when she got an attitude and stood up out of her chair going to see Purdue? Don't get me started.
I got nothing to hide.
Marcus, she don't want to mess with
I'm
me.
I'm good.
She don't want to mess
I'm
with
good.
Me, Marcus.
I sleep
don't,
well.
Trust me. She don't want to mess with me.
Hey, you
come with all that evidence?
Hey, Molly, I ain't going to let him do it. You know what's disappointing?
Talk to me.
The man himself, my mentor, in this business, in a lot of ways, my mentor.
A little scary.
The guy that has given me so much advice about be yourself, do the things that you want to do, enjoy being on television, is blinded by Aaron Rodgers. The Stephen A. Smith is blinded by Aaron enough to make him take the Rams, who lost to his number one team. All right, see, that's when you go back to being Urkel right there.
Yeah, when you take him off and put your little chain on, that's when you step on a kill.
Marcus, I was with Urkel Monday night.
Your twin brother? Family matters? Did you ask him how Laura was? It was good to see him, man.
He was good, taking care of himself, man. He's a good brother, man. We were in the same suite.
That's your twin brother. Y'all really kin to each other. You need to do some of that.
Well, some people say. Some people
ludicrous.
Say it's ludicrous too.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, both of the brothers look good. I ain't ashamed. I wonder if they blind to that. I'm older. I wonder if they blind to that.
I never thought I'd see this day, Molly, where he gets absolutely irrational because of his emotional attachment to somebody.
Have you not seen Aaron Rodgers?
Let me tell you something. You know damn well throughout the first 5 weeks of this season that the Rams have played better than the Green Bay Packers, Stephen A. Smith.
Not this past week? What's their record right now? I think it's identical records.
Stephen A., they lost to the team you got number one.
I understand that.
All right. Marcus,
they got blown out.
Marcus, what's the difference? Okay.
Now Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey ain't gonna let that happen again. I believe in their brothers.
Yeah.
But Matthew Stafford and that offense got punked.
Okay, can I talk some real football now?
Sure.
Marcus.
Y'all talking real football. How dare you?
Well, there's kind of a statute of limitations for how much one can compliment oneself in a show during a soliloquy. I'm staying focused, though.
Okay,
Sam Tanucci, our producer. Marcus, how high is the ceiling for the Packers?
It's very high. Listen, Aaron Rodgers is there. I agree. But ultimately, when you look at this team in a whole, they have some flaws and some deficiencies, and they may very well be out their best cornerback, who is very important to what they do from a defensive standpoint. So, listen, we all got a clear eye view, I hope. These are for fashion, by the way. He probably need them to see.
I do.
And,
I
okay.
Do.
I need them.
And Molly, Molly, I know you need them, but you make them look him. Good. You make
Thank
them look
you.
Good.
Molly fly. Molly fly. We all know that.
Anyway,
we all know Molly on another level.
Anyway,
but that don't mean I'm losing. What?
The bottom line is this, Molly Q. Green Bay is a good football team. But in comparison to what we see in the NFC right now, with Arizona, with Dallas, and consistently with the Rams, I would have those three teams ahead of them.
Same page. Oh,
first of all, it's Molly QR, not Molly Q. That's number one.
My bad.
And number
Molly
two,
QR.
And number,
sorry,
and
MQR.
And number two.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
And,
that's
and,
why.
Number, and number two, yeah. Marcus, you talk about I probably need these. Could you remind the world how old you are, sir?
I'm 38 years old, sir.
I'm come see me when you 53.
Okay.
Oh, wait, are you about
OG.
To compliment yourself again?
Yes.
We
that's what
he's
doing.
Do you have any idea?
Hey,
do you have
hey, Molly,
any idea
how Molly, good I let me help
no.
him.
I,
let me help. What kind of glasses are they?
Kidding me?
Hey, Stephen A., what kind of glasses are they? What kind of
Cartier.
Glasses are they?
Those are Cartier.
You can't hide it.
Huh? We need a clock counting all the times in a show Stephen A. compliments himself.
You're
like a little
saying.
Ticker.
I mean,
we need a tracker.
Listen,
we need a tracker
a
for that.
A brother in his 50s with a receding hairline
oh
and still
God.
Looking this damn good. I mean, damn.
I mean, damn. It's not even fair, Stephen
That's
A.
What
it's
LA
not even
to.
Right.
Molly,
it's not
you
even
must,
right. And
Molly,
the bank
you,
account's growing. It's not even fair.
You must have put him. You must have put him on them pliables, and you must have put him on some of them the avocado and the green juice. See, that's what happened when you go to L.A. Hey, everybody, I want everybody to understand what happens when you go out there on the West Coast. See, Stephen A., he is one of those people with the kind of bank account where you just transition to the West Coast when they get cold
oh, yeah.
over here. You know,
yeah.
Hey,
snowbird.
It's under, it's under 40 degrees. I'm going to go
Can
to
I
Cali
say,
for the,
can we,
for the
can
rest
we
of
end
the
segment,
year. I'll be
can
back.
We, can we end this segment by me acknowledging something very sad on 2 points?
What?
Number one. I did make sure to negotiate to be bi-coastal because I was tired of cold weather. That's number one. And number two,
I don't blame
and number two, I did drink some avocado juice this morning. I did. I'm just admitting it, man.
Right.
I'm just admitting it, man.
Let's just go to break. I can't. It's making it rain now. Party's over.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Josh Allen and the Red Hot Buffalo Bills, Bills Mafia, travel to Kansas City on Sunday to take on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in a battle of AFC heavyweights. The Chiefs are always dangerous with Showtime, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, but don't sleep on the Bills. The offense on fire right now, having outscored opponents 118-21
over the last three games. Marcus, which is the better team, Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs?
Right now, Buffalo Bills, Molly. And it's because of their defense. Listen, this both of these offenses are potent, and they score at a high clip. But right now, the Bills' defense, who's pitched two shutouts so far, granted, not against great teams, but it's hard to do in the NFL. They're turning the football over, and that gives Josh Allen more opportunities. And obviously, when you look at this team, obviously losing week one to the Pittsburgh Steelers, no one panicked because we all understood that the Buffalo Bills would continue to get better, and now you start to see them hit that stride based on what we saw last year. And the addition of Emmanuel Sanders has been a godsend for this football team. He's a guy that's taking the top off of the defense, freeing up Diggs, Cole Beasley working the middle, Dawson Knox out there, and Josh Allen is back to being Josh Allen. I thought earlier in the season he was trying to be the MVP instead of just going out and playing football. They're using his legs. They have this run game going with Moss out of the backfield as well. Right now, Buffalo is a more complete team. We know the struggles that the Kansas City Chiefs are having defensively, so I go with the Bills right now being the most complete team.
Listen, I like the Bills. I think they're a bona fide threat. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. And remember, the list is fluid as the NFL season continues. So we understand that I reserve the right to switch and change my mind as the season progresses when we're talking about power rankings and things of that nature. But I'm still going to go with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Even though they're the second worst defense in points allowed, yards allowed, third worst against the run, 27th against the pass, I understand all of that. I think that the Honey Badger being out the first game or so, it's going to take them a little while. Andy Reid being sick and all of this other stuff. You've got a lot of things going on in Kansas City right now. But they still got that dude, Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
They still got Tyreek Hill. They still got Travis Kelce. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, your boy out of LSU, is averaging 5 yards a carry. Let's not forget that. We might not be talking about it. It might not even be a question if he doesn't fumble in a game to force them to lose a couple of weeks ago. And so as a result of that, we got to look at it for what it's worth and say, look, their offense is so high-powered, sometimes you can take things for granted defensively. Then I got to take into account the level of competition that the Buffalo Bills are going against. We have learned that the Pittsburgh Steelers is greatly, greatly limited. They had a 23-16 win over the Buffalo Bills on opening day, primarily due to special teams and defense because the offense didn't do much. And then over the last 3 weeks, they shut out Miami. They beat the Washington football team. Don't even have a name yet. I don't understand that. They don't even have a name yet. And then they shut out the Houston Texans that got a star quarterback that ain't even dressing That's for fair. Games for crying out loud. So the level of competition that you go against does get taken into consideration. That's what I am looking at, Marcus. And that's why my mentality is, look, man, the Buffalo Bills are a legitimate team. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you do not want to have to go to Buffalo and face Bills Mafia on their home turf. You want them brothers to have to come to Kansas City. I get all of that. But as of right now, I would say that the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm still going to give them an edge over Buffalo because I'm not sold on Buffalo's offense as of yet. As much as I love Emmanuel Sanders and how he helps, helps your vertical game, and Stephon Diggs is that dude, even though he ain't the most popular Diggs in football right now. It's his brother in Dallas who would get my vote for Defensive Player of the Year right now. If we had to give out, it would be Trayvon Diggs. Mm-hmm. He would be Defensive Player of the Year because I think he's been sensational. In the end, I look at Buffalo and I just say, you know what? You got to show me something this weekend against Kansas City for me to give you that kind of cachet.
No doubt, S.A., that's logical, man. I talked about this on NFL Live yesterday when we had a conversation about the Chiefs, and I said the Chiefs are like that kid that gets all the letters sent home about talking too much in class, but he still makes straight A's. And everybody's just waiting for the Chiefs to ascend, but right now I got to give it to Buffalo, man. They playing better.
I want to end that portion of this segment by saying this. In other words, Marcus is saying, my logic is undeniable. My logic is undeniable.
Oh, there we go. Another compliment. Check.
You know what that
ticker,
is, right?
Check.
You know what
Let's
that
get
is, right?
The count going.
That's Vicky. That's Vicky from the movie iRobot.
Oh, my God.
With Will Smith.
Now you sound old. When is that, from the
80s? Hold on. Will Smith?
No, the
Will
movie.
Will Smith's iRobot?
What's that movie from?
I've watched it about 10 times. I love that movie.
Yeah.
My logic is undeniable.
My logic is undeniable.
Oh, my gosh. Casey's favored by 2.5. Still the best odds to win the Super Bowl. Buffalo's third. Let's go to the Steelers.
Yes.
The reference is a little old, Stephen. Are sitting at the bottom of the AFC North at 1-3, and a big reason is their offense or lack thereof. Pittsburgh has not scored more than 17 points since a 23-16 win over the Bills in week one. Many people think the Steelers have held on to Ben Roethlisberger way too long. What does Mike Tomlin think about his quarterback? Take a listen.
Everything except mobility. I don't have an answer for that, or lack thereof, man. Ben used to be able to run really good when he was young. Those days are behind him. Other than that, I don't see much that's not a discussion in terms of technical alterations or quality of play that can be improved.
I don't want to dwell too much on the physical things, the ailments, things that are happening, because it sounds like an excuse, and I'm not going to make that. I need to be better. I need to fight through and figure out how to make better decisions, how to make better throws, how to, be a better football player. And that's why I just said I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep doing that. I'm not giving up on this season. No one in this building is. It's still early, and there's still a lot of fight left in us.
All right, that was fresh sound, obviously, from Big Ben. Stephen, your reaction to Tomlin's comments on Big Ben and also what Big Ben said?
I think that Mike Tomlin respectfully is a little wrong because obviously he's compromised because of his love and support for a guy that has been there for him for the vast majority of his career. And as a Steeler fan, I want to thank Ben Roethlisberger for all he's done. But I think he is done. And the reason why I think he's done is because even when you see a good moment from Ben, you know what you ask yourself? Can he do it over the course of 60 minutes? Because age and attrition has kicked in, and especially attrition where it comes to him. All of those years are taking a pounding. Now he's a stationary target. He can't move, which means that you're subjecting him to getting punished. He cannot take that the way that he used to. You can see it in his underthrows. You can see it in his overthrows. You can see it in a lot of different things because he knows he can't move. So he feels pressure sometimes even when it ain't there because he knows that he can't move any longer. And in that regard, he is done, in my opinion. I think the best days have come and gone. That doesn't mean he can't get it done for you in moments and in spurts. But over the course of a lengthy season, I don't believe he can.
That's the key, SA. And listen, man, being in the locker room for 9 years in the NFL, the one thing as a football player you need to recognize is when you can't protect yourself. And that's when it's time to get out of the building and go do something else. And that's where we are with Big Ben and also the infrastructure of what the Steelers are. They are not suited to have an aging quarterback to win football games. You know, we had Peyton Manning go to Denver, where he had a great supporting cast, a really good offensive line. He had Demaryius Thomas out there at wide receiver, and he had DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller, who were still rolling at a very high level to support him along with a great defense. Ben has that, but he does not have the infrastructure offensively for what's diminished about him to overcome it. It's simple. Like, I came into this season saying, listen, I cannot believe that the Steelers will go into this season with the same problems that they had last year. I had too much respect, and I know too much about Mike Tomlin. And it's not just an indictment on Mike Tomlin. That involves the GM. That involves ownership. That involves everybody that's making decisions. They have not gotten better on the offensive line. And you don't have, and you do not have the support system for an aging quarterback that cannot move. So, unfortunately, you know, for Ben, that he's over the hill. It's done. And it's hard to admit.
Real quick. Ben Roethlisberger has been sacked 10 times this year.
Yeah.
He's been sacked 526 times in his career.
Yeah.
Lord knows how many times he's been hit. But over the last three seasons, he was sacked 2 times, 13 times, and 10 times. That's not bad. And still, he can't move.
He can't move.
What should that tell you?
Yeah.
What should that tell you?
Pittsburgh plays Denver on Sunday. Big Ben currently 28th in QBR out of 32. What's that song you like? Go New York, go New York, no New York, no. Is it no New York or is it go New York? I can't.
You keep talking. You will get banned from New York.
Remember,
last night
I lived there. Yankees lost. Not only crushed the World Series dreams of New York fans, but also dug up the memories of the Knicks playoff defeat at the hands of Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. So Stephen A., saddened day. Which early exit, you know, hurt you more?
The Yankees. I was happy that the Knicks got to the playoffs because they hadn't been there in years. They had been relevant. And now they crawled before they walked, and they elevated themselves to relevancy. And now I'm expecting a little better things even this upcoming season. With the New York Yankees, I had championship expectations. I had a $324 million man on the mound. I had the tradition that comes associated with 27 World Series titles. I got the days of Gron Guidry and Chris Chambliss and Greg Nettles and Mickey Rivers, and the list goes on and on. Yankees, Derek Jeter, El Capitan, all of these brothers that stepped up to the plate and answered the call. Answered the call. And then these dudes show up last night. And the only person that really, really showed up was Giancarlo Stanton. And he messed up because he was posing for pictures for GQ when he thought he had a home run in the first inning. I mean, hey, what the hell is going on, Joey Gallo?
Yankees fans, don't buy this because you should have been there. You should have been there, but you wanted to be in L.A. Watching the Chargers on Monday night. And I get it. Our company puts that on. It's a wonderful thing. You should have been there. Yankee fans, don't take
Where's
this from
me. Where's your heart, Stephen A.?
You should have been at the game.
I didn't want to get stuck in traffic at Fenway. I didn't want to get stuck in traffic at Fenway.
Goodbye, everybody. Lord, we'll do it again tomorrow. Marcus, you're the best.
Shouldn't have never gave us money.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.